With three stores at 174th and Maple and a shop in Fremont, Dillon Brothers has the motorcycle you're looking for. In addition to bikes, they also sell ATVs, side-by-sides, jet skis, and more. Check it all out at Dillon-Brothers.com.
Game time, 16 Torn of the Zone, 16torntothezone.com, 16 Torn of the Zone mobile app. Championship Series gets cracking tonight. LSU, Florida. Let's bring on our next guest, Kendall Rogers, D1Baseball.com. Kendall, how are things?
Pretty good, man. How about you?
Good. Is this the time, like, been in Omaha for a long time? Like, is this when you start to kind of get antsy about getting ready to leave? Or is this when you get sad that you, like, there's clearly light at the end of the tunnel here?
It's like an emotional roller coaster, man. Like, you're ready to go home. My hotel room probably looks like a tornado went through here. But on the flip side, I'm kind of sad, you know?
Right.
You look at the season and the World Series this has been with so many power programs, and it's going to be sad to see this coming in, but it's got to come in at some point.
Yep.
We might as well have two preseason top seven teams going at it.
Before we get into LSU and Florida, I want to go backwards for a little bit here. Unfortunately, a huge part of Saturday's Oregon State LSU game was Greg Street, home plate umpire. Strike zone was pretty big. I mean, clearly. Well, I guess for you, Kendall, as a guy that watches college baseball all year and studies this stuff, what did you see with the home plate ump?
Well, what I saw was something terrible. But, I think when you look at Gregory Street, you know, I was talking to a couple of coaches in the Southeastern Conference, and the kind of the consistent thought with a lot of those coaches was that he was, you know, one of their worst rated umpires in terms of balls and strikes in the league. And so I guess that would lead me to wonder, I guess, would be the better term. What in the world is he even doing here? I mean, if he rates that bad with so many SEC programs, why is he here? So that's the first question I have. I guess the other thing here is, you know, there's two sides of the coin here. On one, that was a terrible strike zone. I mean, you have situations, and LSU was affected too. I mean, there was a couple of LSU guys that were punched out on balls that were literally in the other strike zone. But, you know, LSU did make adjustments to that. I think if you're Oregon State, you have to make adjustments to that. And, you know, I don't, there's not an easy way to do that when the guy's calling strikes in another batter's box. But I guess what you could do is crowd the plate and kind of poke it out to left field. But, you know, it's unfortunate. I think when you get in this stage, it's been such a wonderful World Series that you just hate to have that, be the storyline. But at the end of the day, I mean, if you look at that, you know, the Oregon State LSU game, at the end of the day, to me, the game was won and lost in the fact that, you know, Oregon State did not start, you know, their hard-throwing guy, Drew Rasmussen. I really thought Pat Casey kind of miscalculated there. I think they should have started him. When you look at his stuff, his changeup slider and his fastball in the mid-90s, I think he would have fared pretty well against LSU. But you know what? They threw a guy that was 84, 87 for the second time in 2 weeks against LSU. And when you do that, you're kind of playing with fire a little
right.
bit. So give LSU a ton of credit. Those guys, fighting back out of the loser's bracket. It's not easy to kind of get off the mat when you get beat 13-1.
Yes.
And Oregon State's out there putting on a clinic. But, you know, on the flip side of that, when you look ahead to the championship series, they're not going against Bryce Bimmel tonight. They're going against, Brady Singer, a guy that, you know, I was out in a series at Gainesville with LSU and Florida play earlier this year, and he put on an absolute clinic against LSU. So, I like Florida today, but, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Last thing on the umpire thing. Would you entertain ever implementing electronic balls and strikes being administered into baseball?
I'll tell you what, if you would have asked me 5 days ago, I would have said no way in the world I would ever consider that.
Yeah.
Now, you know what, at least on this stage, I would be open to it. I don't, you know, and I'll be the first to admit I'm absolutely not up to date on the kind of where the technology stands with that. My understanding is there's some roadblocks in that department. But I tell you what, I'd be in favor of looking at it. You know, I think somebody made a good point is, you know, you can still have an umpire, but you kind of have the system kind of buzz a different jingle in there, I guess, whenever it's a ball or it's a strike. And then they kind of go off of that. So it sounds like the technology is not up to par just yet. Even Major League Baseball has kind of admitted that. But I would be open to it. I mean, what we saw the other day was an absolute joke. I mean, I hate making that game about all that. But,
yeah.
I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, when you have guys literally walking back to the dugout, just like, look like they're just in the daze because the umpire is so bad. It's amazing. Caleb Gilbert, you know, for LSU, to his credit, by the way, he even mentioned after the game, like, you know, if he's going to give me that strike, I'm just going to throw fastballs the outside part of the plate and the other batter's box. Like, you know, hey, it's not my fault the guy's calling that, so I'm going to throw it exactly where it is. He was able to do that, and Bryce Schimmel wasn't. That was the difference.
Kendall Rogers, D1Baseball.com. Just overall, Kendall, level of surprise to see a team in Oregon State who had lost four games all year lose two in a row to get bounced.
Well, I'm not that shocked. I mean, I think when you get to Omaha, anything can happen. I think when you look at Oregon State and kind of the clinic they put on the first two games, especially that game against LSU, I mean, that was as good as a performance as I've seen from a team in Omaha in years. And those guys played well. But, you know, when you get here, you know, people forget. I mean, they didn't have their, you know, arguably the nation's best pitcher in Omaha, and they still got to the bracket championship game and had to be beaten twice to get, you know, to not get to the championship series. So, you know, when you don't have the best pitcher in college baseball and you're still in a position to where all you need to do is win one game to play for the national title, that gives you an idea just how good this team was. I mean, Oregon State, and this is a credit to Casey and that staff, is like Oregon State, when they lost Heimlich going into the Super Regional, you know, that could have been a really bad thing for them. They could have just folded from an emotional standpoint. They could have been off their game. To their credit, they were not that, and really until I would say this last game in Omaha, they really played pretty well. I mean, against LSU and Alex Lang, I mean, you could argue, yeah, they only had two hits, but I mean, Alex Lang can throw a two-hitter against anybody. So, you know, I don't really fault them there. I think the last game of the year was really the only one where they just looked totally out of sync. And considering what they kind of went through down the stretch, I kind of find that actually pretty impressive. So, you know, I'm not that surprised. I mean, LSU's a great, great club.
Yeah.
But the last month of the season, the Tigers have played outstanding baseball. And, you know, they've kind of gotten things going across the board.
The MVP for LSU in the College World Series so far has been who?
Boy, I think when you look at kind of thing, how things have kind of transpired, I mean, you know, they've had a lot of huge role players, Nick. I mean, you look at, like, Bo Jordan, you know, laying down some good bunts early in the World Series. You look at Alex Lang's big-time performance. I think for me, I think Zach Hess. I think he's been such a difference maker on that back end. And I'm not sure, you know, a month and a half ago, I would have seen this coming. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, they had started in the midweek. His velo, you know, didn't really hold as a midweek guy. They throw him in the bullpen. He's got that mean streak about him. And everything he throws is just absolute gas. And, you know, I do kind of wonder a little bit, given the championship series, if you look back at, you know, the end of his outing at Oregon State, you know, his velo kind of dropped a little bit. It was more like 91, 93. And if you're Paul Maneri, you would really like to be able to get through today's game without using him, because I think he's one of those guys that it looks like he probably needs to recoup a little bit. And so I think for me, I think Zach Cass, just his mean streak on the back end, I think gives him a lot of confidence to get the latter innings. And, you know, I think for me, that's the guy.
Kendall Rogers, my guest, D1Baseball.com. What about for Florida? What's, I guess, two-part question. Who's been their MVP so far to you, and what's kind of stood out to you with what's transpired for them for a little over a week here to be one of the two teams left standing?
Yeah, I think you have to go with Alex Baeto as their MVP right now. I mean, he's probably the most outstanding player in Florida wins the World Series, even if he doesn't even pitch in the championship series. I mean, he's been just phenomenal in his two starts against TCU. You know, I would expect to see him on Wednesday. I know, you know, Sully, Florida, said that, you know, it's probably unlikely, but I can almost promise you that if there's a situation late in the game on Wednesday that they could use him, he is going to enter that game. And so I think Alex Baeto for me from Florida, and I think the big key for Florida is when you look at this team overall in the championship series, I'm a little concerned about him offensively. I mean, Nelson Maldonado has been kind of hampered by an injury. You know, you look at Dalton Guthrie dealing with back spasms. As we all know, that's not a really easy thing to deal with as an athlete. And, you know, those two things are question marks for me, because they really need to have everybody healthy from an offensive standpoint, because, you know, offensively, that's where LSU has a massive advantage. And so I think for me, I think the big key for Florida is they've got to get some production offensively for maybe some, you know, some guys that they, you know, otherwise wouldn't expect it from. You know, maybe it's a Christian Hicks or a Blake Reese or, you know, guys like that. You know, Jonathan India has to have a big championship series. But, you know, I like Florida pitching-wise in the series, but I do have some question marks for the offense. But I just think LSU has such a huge offensive advantage. That's why I kind of lean the Tigers overall.
Overall, when you look at both teams right now, what kind of shape are both bullpens in heading into tonight?
Well, I think heading tonight, I think they're both fine. I mean, I think when you're Florida, you know, I know they talked about starting Tyler Dyson potentially tomorrow or Wednesday, you know, I think if you're Florida, I mean, I think you're really in the situation you have to go game by game.
Yeah.
If you're Florida, you're in a situation late, You feel like you have a matchup advantage with Tyler Dyson against somebody. I think you have to throw him. And so I think right now, you know, Michael Byrne and Dyson are fresh for Florida. I think, you know, I was talking about Zach Hess. I think, you know, a guy like, you know, Hunter Newman really needs to step up for LSU. I think they need I still think they need an extra day to kind of give Hess a day to kind of recoup a little bit. And so I think Hunter Newman's the big key for LSU. But I think Florida, I mean, Florida clearly has the advantage today. I mean, you've got LSU starting a guy with an ERA north of 8. You got Brady Singer on the mound. I mean, if Florida doesn't win tonight, I think I would be very shocked if they won the series.
You think it goes, I mean, are we going all the way till Wednesday, or you think it's over tomorrow?
I think we're going to Wednesday. I mean, mm-hmm. I think Brady Singer is going to get Florida to win today. I think LSU bounces back tomorrow, and I think we end up with a matchup on Wednesday between Jackson Coar and Alex Lang. One guy, a first round pick this year, another guy, be a first round pick next year. And like I said, don't be surprised if Alex Pato is on the mound at the end of that game. So it ought to be a lot of fun. I'm hoping and praying. I was looking at the weather for Wednesday. It's like 80% chance of rain from like 3 to 9.
Yep.
I'm hoping and praying that game gets in.
Yeah, it's been good so far. I was looking at that too. Kendall Rogers, D1Baseball.com. Kendall, great stuff. You guys do great work. Enjoy the championship series.
Thanks, Nick. Good talking to you, buddy.
You got it. Kendall Rogers, D1Baseball.com. They do really good work there. And, yeah, I was looking at that that forecast as well. I've really hung in there so far. It's been outstanding weather, and hopefully don't have an issue on Wednesday if it happens to get to that point. It is just amazing to think. It's on one hand, you know, Oregon State loses their ace, so the fact that they were just one game away from punching their ticket to the championship series, that's impressive. But it also is impressive to think that a team that had lost four games all year, lost two in a row, to get bounced before they could get to the championship series. And you got to hand it to LSU. And that's where I think experience matters. The fact that they get dusted 13-1 and they were able to just totally shake that off, move on, you know, pick themselves up off the mat, all those cliches, and find themselves here getting ready to take down Florida potentially for championship series. 402-951-1620. So still to come, Anthony Tolliver, Matt Verzal, but let's take a break. Got a couple of things I want to get to, including when we come back, a former Husker, very prominent, well-known, famous, successful former Husker is in the news for not great reasons. Tell you who that is and what is happening when we come back.